Calling all creators, welcome to the Creator Landscape Podcast, the podcast that connects you with the most successful creators and industry leaders in the business. And now, please welcome your host, Jake Pearson.
Welcome back to the podcast where we explore the creator economy and how you can succeed in it. Now, our guest today is a multifaceted social media creator who loves to be known as the one-stop shop for well-being, personal growth, and success. In their own words, I'm more than just a content creator. I'm a community builder, a mentor, and a friend. Sharon Carr, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jake. I'm just really happy to be here.
I am pumped to talk to the social media bestie. Let's go. How's your day been?
My day has been wild, to say the honest least. Social media, I feel like I need to uninstall it at this point. And this is just where I'm at.
Yeah, I've had a few moments like that myself with social where I just go, okay, I can't be on TikTok anymore. I don't even want to check my app. I'm sick of all these notifications and comments. And it's just like, now this is getting too much. How do you take breaks from social regularly as a creative? What's your strategy there?
What I do honestly is my family doesn't like this. My friends don't like this, but I stay on D&D. So I don't get notifications. I don't get anything. And you do have to call me twice to get a hold of me. They don't like that, but I do that for my mental well-being. And YouTube comments got to the best of me one day. And I was like, I forgot I can turn off my notifications. So that's what I did to help me. In addition to that, I also make sure I have in real life things to do. Like doing fitness or going to the chiropractor or acupuncture to get alignments, just to get out the house and not be on my social media thinking about what do I need to film next? I leave it alone. I let myself be wherever I'm at. Oh,
I can really empathize with that. What do I need to film next? I feel like that's what my brain screams at me all the time. You know, whether it's a piece of content for a brand or just for my own social, I'm like, wow, what do I need to film? Even on the weekends, I'm like, I just can't switch that off. And it's just a skill that I need to work on. But I would love to give you a bit of an introduction to the listeners and creators in the audience. Can you explain to us a bit about your story, how you became the one-stop shop for well-being, growth, success when it comes to your content? Where does that all come from?
Yeah, for me, it started back in my early, I'll say, teenage years. And it started with the wonderful company that's still around, and I'm so happy that it is, Wattpad, and writing and reading stories and fan fictions. And from there, I realized that I needed to be able to talk to my community in a different way besides just writing them on the wall. I wanted to be able them to see me in video and hear me. So I created a YouTube channel back in 2011 just that. And looking back now, I'm like, this is where you started, Charite. Okay. And I can also say, because I've had family in the entertainment industry, they talk about if you don't know the contracts, you don't know the business, some people will try to pull that over your eyes. So to be the best creator, you want to make sure you have some type of stability. You want to make sure that you do understand the back end of things and not just be the talent, but be the talent and the brains. So that's what I did. I worked on my education. Even though I was super sick during that time, I still graduated high school on time. I moved out to Vegas, and that was a complete shift from Southern California. I worked as a sales associate. I moved into customer service with UPS, moving to MGM and being in talent acquisition to now working in systems at Dutch Bros Coffee, in addition to creating content, photography, writing stories, and all the in-betweens, because that's how I cope with the existing in this world, is I create content.
Yeah. And what about content creation inspires you or just is always drawing you back? Do you love just being in front of the camera, speaking, sharing your thoughts, inspiring other people? What about turning on that camera, hitting the record button and just go is fun for you?
Honestly, you're going to be like, really, Charente? If I had actually a preference of not being on camera, I would not be on camera. I'm going to start there. I only am on camera because my friends were like, I need to like put you in a bottle so I can keep you. And I'm like, how do I do that? I have to create videos for them so they can keep me in a little bottle and jar. So that's the only reason I do that. And I can also say is that for me, I'm having to still learn how to talk to the camera as my friend, because I can talk to my friend in person, but as soon as that camera and that light turn on, sometimes I go completely blank in my mind. And I'm like, what was I meant to say? This is why we have teleprompter apps, because I forget what to say sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I can say that it's still a journey. This is still a journey.
I would be a mess without a teleprompter these days. I heavily script some of the ad content that I do. But when it comes to creating content for myself, I sit there, I'll just whip out my phone. I'm like, all right, I'm going to say this. I'll record the first line. I'm like, yeah, that hook was fire. And then I'm like, what am I saying next? Oh, I didn't think this far ahead. And I'll spend 10 minutes sometimes on a 30-second video because I'm just sitting there in blank. I'm like, what the hell? Why am I? So I completely understand the need for a teleprompter. The fact that have you ever been on a podcast where someone's asked you a question and you just go blank because you're like, I don't know. And it's so awkward. You have to recollect your thoughts and you're saying all these words that are coming out of your mouth, but it's not really meaning anything because you're trying to collect your thoughts in the background as well. Have you ever had that?
I've had that. And I can say that when I'm having these candid conversations, I do my best to like fill the moment. And if you see me just take some deep breaths, you'll notice, you're like, oh, she forgot what she was going to say. Because sometimes my brain works very fast and I will be in mid thought and then I think another thought and be on a complete tangent on accident in my mind. And I don't even know what thought I was like on when I was talking. It gets messy fast.
I've had that a lot too. And there was this time, you know what? Exactly what I just said just happened to me then, where I was like, oh, this thought, I'm going to ask this question. And then as I've gone to ask you the question's gone. And now I'm going to fill the space. Moving on from that. So where do you spend most of your time when you're creating your content? Is it on YouTube? Is it TikTok, Instagram? What's your favorite platform?
So I double dip. So last night I was, I guess, inspired to record content because I have over 63 videos ready on my Android and like 20 ready in my drafts on my iPhone. And not to mention, I recorded YouTube videos that I scheduled out into the beginning of next month. Like, I did a lot last night. I'm gonna be honest and real. And can say, like, I'll use TikTok to record my videos because I like how my face presents there and I don't have to put on extra makeup unless I really want to. And then I will download it without the watermark and then upload it on YouTube and stuff like that, or use automation services to automatically move my videos over. And I can say is that on YouTube, I'm really loving their new green screen technology where you can just click remix and green screen's right there. You just literally turn on your camera, plug in your headphones, and then react. It's so streamlined now compared to back in the day when we used to do green screens and we actually had to have a green screen. It was a lot more setup and a lot more work to just get the exact same look. So I'm actually having a lot more fun on YouTube as well as TikTok. I hardly ever use Instagram. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going
to lie. I think the green screen feature that's come to the editing apps, like, for example, I edit all my videos on CapCut and I just go cut. I cut myself out in CapCut, automated, done in 3 seconds. And I'm like, who needs an actual green screen anymore? This is so awesome. And I think that technology is going to send the green screen business very far down the pecking order in terms of that. But how are you finding YouTube these days in terms of the new features? I hear that they're potentially going to grab a bit more market share in the short form content space now that TikTok has taken a lot of the sounds off. What are you thinking about that?
So for me, I'm part of that crew of saying that. I'm not going to lie in front with you. And the reason is because I have been consciously working on growing my YouTube following. And since I've consciously worked on it, I've grown over 600 subscribers in less than a month and a half. Oh, yeah. In addition to that, I have shorts ranking at 30,000 views, like on like average. And I'm just like, this is crazy because this video will do like 200 on TikTok and it just stops. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not about to put money behind you. So I'm just going to let it be and call it a day and focus on YouTube, because they really are championing us there. They really do care about it. And even they're adding virtual live streams to the shorts feed has been even helping with my view count when it comes to me doing lives now. For me, like, I'm loving YouTube.
They have the vertical live streams now. That's
cool. Yeah, and you can actually have people join from mobile. It's not even a desktop thing. It's only a mobile thing. Yeah. So let's say, like, you have someone else that you're going to join on the YouTube vertical. If they're monetized, they're still going to get the ad money, but both of your audiences are going to get alerted when you guys join each other's lives, which I think is, like, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's a really cool way to help small creators collab with big creators without having to do a big video and everything. It's like, yeah, let's just jump on. We're in the same niche. Let's talk shop and have our audiences join us and ask some live Q&As or whatever. And that's really good for small creators, I think, that are trying to establish themselves and build up a following. YouTube has always got a place in my heart. That's been the thing. It was around when I was a teenager, just wanting to, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to create content. YouTube, I'm just so glad to see it still thriving. And I hope it's continually thriving for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Same here. Like, that's where I got my start. Someone asked me recently, they're like, so if you had to remove all apps and you can only use one, and I'm like, why? This is very extreme, but I'm going to answer. It's going to be YouTube. Because YouTube actually champions me as a creator. They have webinars that you can join where they will teach you new things and tell you what is working and what's not working, and allow you to literally create with other content creators, and having Discord channels and actually having support and helping you. I have not received this much love as a creator from any other app. I'm going to be absolutely honest.
You know, it's fascinating.
So YouTube is my heart.
Because TikTok has their own center, right? You've probably seen it. It's like, oh yeah, this is what you need to do. But nobody goes to that because they just go to the For You page, scroll down a few videos, and you've got someone there telling you about what TikTok wants you to do. And it's like, okay, well, why would I go to your database when these people convey the information in a much more interesting manner? And that's the creators are really driving the platform on TikTok. It's all people just creating content, sharing information, versus YouTube actually, from what you're telling me, putting their time, effort, and resources together to make creators better. As well, yeah, they're like, there are people sharing content on YouTube on how to be better YouTubers. That's a given. But for you, do you think YouTube is really the standout there in terms of all the platforms?
Yes. I also say this, in December, I went to the first YouTube Creator Collective event out here in Vegas, where I got to meet a whole bunch of new content creators. And since then, I've been to CES with them. I've been to a couple of Adobe events this past week with them. And we're currently planning on future collaborations for game nights and different ways that we can make content together. And for me, I would have never been able to talk to these creators any other way, except YouTube saying, we're going to host events in person, we're going to actually show up, and we're going to be there to actually truly support you. And they, every time we're in one of those calls, if we have feedback, they take that feedback and almost immediately put it into use, such as vertical live streams and then putting it in the shorts feed for small time creators. That's an immediate thing that a YouTuber said, and they went at it and they made sure that we had that solution almost immediately.
What's been the most exciting thing about connecting with other creators since you did that in December? Because a lot of creators probably feel like they're alone in their social groups and friend groups as people that are creating content. I, for one, am always saying that I'm like the only person in my social circle that creates content. It can sometimes be very lonely because I got to go, I can't play games with you guys tonight. I can't do this. I've got this content to film. I really want to get this out. And they go, yeah, cool. Have fun with your little YouTube channel or whatever. Not saying that they specifically do it. But, you know, it kind of feels like that sometimes, where they just don't understand the passion and the love that we have for creating content. How's it been for you connecting with other creators who share that same energy?
Honestly, I feel like it literally just lights my fire in my creativity, because I went to last night I went to an Adobe event and I actually won an Adobe pillow. It was the coolest thing ever because I was actually recording and they mentioned my name. I was like, oh, that's me. and I'm like, okay. And mind you, I have my content creator friend next to me and she's filming me while this is happening and stuff too. So when we were taking photos, I'm taking photos of her and the person's like, you're a photographer. I was like, yeah, I am. I'm glad you can recognize that. So that's where I was like, this thing needs to be like this. And like, it feels amazing to finally be able to be around other people that understand my brain, understand why I do what I do, champion me. And it's just, it feels like every time we come together, I just want to create more and do more with less. Like, it's just, it's so much fun.
Every time I have a conversation, you know, hosting this podcast, and I get to meet someone in the creator economy, I'm like, where have you people been hiding? And the more episodes I do, the more people I connect with on LinkedIn, you know, Creator Land, and connect with creators, I'm like, there are people that love content. They're not just people on social media who just create a video and then they go and do their own thing. No, these people, they want to connect. They want to have these conversations because they also feel the same way. And I get so excited. And like your fire gets lit in you. I'm like, this is exciting. I want to talk more. I could just spend the rest of my life talking about content and probably never get bored of it. And I want to have access to these high level conversations. But then you think, you know, all these big creators, right? They've got millions of followers, right? But they're just like you and I. They're also human. They just love being creative. They love talking to people like they're their best friend on the camera. They're in it and they've stuck to it because it's fun. And that their energy, we feed off these exciting creators that we see that on the camera, and I'm feeding off your energy right now. And this is a pre-recorded podcast. Doesn't mean it's any different, but I'm feeding off your energy. And if I was listening to this live, I'd be feeding off your energy when I click play. I'd be like, wow, she's got energy, you know. So it's just it's so exciting to be a content creator. I'm just glad that we can share this joy for it.
And I'll say this because you brought up big creators, and I just want to talk about this really fast. The big creator versus small creator thing really fast, okay? Just create content. I literally made a video telling people I just want you to create content because at the end of the day, I just really need you guys to know that some of the big creators are big creators because ad dollars are put behind them, not because their content went viral by itself, okay? It was paid to be viral. So I just want you guys to know that just create content, be your authentic self because that's more than enough. Doesn't matter if you're small or you're big, you're just a creator. And that is amazing because we need it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a big advocate of don't just say you post videos in your spare time. No, if you want to be known as a creator, if you love creating content, start referring to yourself as a content creator. Sure, you've got 249 followers. So what? Those 249 followers liked your energy, liked your content. That's awesome, right? That's 249 people that... Imagine you went to an auditorium. There was, you know, 500 seats. You've got that full of, you know, 249 people that want to hear what you have to say and talk about the things that you're passionate about. So I feel like as long as you've got something that you're genuinely interested in, that excites you, that you're passionate about, that lights a fire in you, go make videos about it. And as much as, you know, don't care about the metrics, yeah, the metrics are going to be there. But if it's exciting to talk about that stuff, that will show as genuine authenticity and people are going to find you anyway. You know, the people that will resonate with you will find you if the stuff that you put out is genuinely enjoyable. So just go create content that you love, right?
Absolutely. And I'll also say this in regards to metrics really fast is that brands do care about it because they're generally performance-based marketing businesses. They are not just brand marketing businesses. And I'll also say this is that I just don't want you, when you're first starting to create, to get stuck on the numbers. It's more about you being more comfortable creating different types of content than it is about your metrics. And I'll also say this, what you just said is literally what I did when I was creating content and trying to validate, am I an imposter? I was like, do I even want to do this? And then I looked at all my views from all of my videos across all the social media platforms. And I was like, I was able just on view count to fill up the Allegiant Stadium out here in Las Vegas. The entire thing would have been sold out. That is wild when you realize that. And you're like, No, people do resonate with me. They might not resonate on every single video, and that is okay, but my presence is enough. And that's just perfect as itself, you know?
That's a really great way to put it as well. I have suffered massively with imposter syndrome. We've talked about this before, before we even recorded this conversation, that I've put out content and did not feel like I was deserving of the followers or all the comments and all the engagement, all the people really asking me questions. And I was like, this is scary. And I was just getting in my own way, getting in my own head and preventing myself from putting out content. So I actually got scared to open up my comments because I was waiting for someone to say negative things about me in the end because of the imposter syndrome telling me that I wasn't good enough and then questioning my authority. And that's a cycle that you've just got to identify, that that's just, it's a little bit of fear, and it's natural to have the fear, because if you didn't have the fear, then you probably wouldn't do it as much. You know, we got to have that fear to be able to have fun with it as well. Like, for example, I box and I get in the ring, and my coach says to me, if you get in the ring and you don't have fear, well, that's very silly. You're going to do something very stupid or unreasonable. Now, I'm not saying that having fear is always going to be there, like massively and overwhelmingly, but there should be a little bit of nervousness or fear when you put out a piece of content. But don't just take that as fear. It could be a little bit of excitement too. And I think that sometimes can get misunderstood as a creator, that the fear is actually more excitement for posting that piece of content and getting that engagement and checking your phone and going, oh my God, all these people are loving my piece of content. So I actually don't even know where I was going with this, but a little bit of fear is healthy.
No, I got you. I'll pick it up. I got you. That's what I was like. This is all you feed up each other. I'll say this is that I actually posted a video and you talked to me about me with this video that I pinned on my TikTok about imposter syndrome and going into an event and me not realizing that the fear that I actually felt, that nervousness, was true excitement, but I forgot what excitement felt like. So I also want to throw that out there to say, remember that how your brain works. Your brain works on past information. That's all it can work on, past data sets. And when you are doing something that you've never done before, of course you're going to have the nervous willies. Of course you're going to have a little bit of fear. I just recommend that you push past that and still do it anyway, because you showing up is what we need. And I know it, you might feel like it's fear. It's really, it's excitement just disguising itself as fear. Because remember that fear is false evidence appearing real, even though it's not real. Okay. Because I just want to throw that out there.
A previous podcast guest said to me, Jenny Johnson, she said to me, feel the fear and do it anyway. And this was a video that she made on her social, and she posted and did really well. And it was just her saying, feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And that to me is, you know, that resonates strongly with me, because there's so many times where I've had really scary conversations. Well, I think, hey, I've got to, let's say before this podcast, I'm anxious, a bit fearful. I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? And I've got to take a deep breath and go, feel the fear and do it anyway, because that half an hour actually goes surprisingly quick once you're in there. And then you're on with the rest of your day. And then suddenly that was 3 months ago. Feel the fear and do it anyway. So you can sit there and let it grip you and prevent you from taking a step forward. Or you can acknowledge the fear, that emotion with whatever it is when it comes to creating your content, also real life, and just take a few deep breaths and realize that time will pass regardless of what happens in the next 30 minutes. So feel the fear, do it anyway, move forward through it.
Absolutely. As a content creator, honoring all of your emotions is so important. I teach this in Affirmation Station Show, one of my podcasts, that the fear, the emotions is just the background music of your life story. And yes, you are the main character. No, you're not the side character. And there's nothing wrong with like the Jaws music if it's like one of those scary moments, or a really like upbeat tune because you're about to like, it's that great day of being alive. You just woke up and you're excited. It's that exact same thing. Those are your emotions, and they are all super, super powerful. And that's why people love us as content creators, because we're able to take that information, take those emotions, make content where people can feel it. That's why they love it. And when they feel it, you can actually heal it, whatever that is, if it's a trigger that's good or a trigger that's not good. But if you don't feel it, you can't heal it. And that not feeling allows you to get sicker than you want to be sick in your mind and in your body, because your emotions stay trapped in you.
What's your message around self-doubt for content creators? Because this is very much on the topic of, you know, the imposter syndrome and maintaining the challenges of self-doubt. I've expressed that I've had a lot of self-doubt when putting pieces of content out. Well, who wants to listen to me? Why would anyone want to listen to me? You know, why would I go on this podcast? Nobody's going to care, for example. I've managed to work through that, regulating my own thoughts and feelings, but then it will still come and present itself at point in time. How do you manage your self-doubt? Are there things that you say to yourself or a routine that you take yourself through when you're challenging your own self-doubt?
I will say the first thing that I do is I have awareness that I am being doubtful in that moment. That's the first thing. The second thing is I say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. This is the Ho'oponopono mantra and prayer. I say this in regards to any feeling that comes up, because I have found that has brought me to peace really faster than me saying anything else. And then sometimes I'll even say, I love you, best friend. I'm proud of who I am today, and I look forward to what day today brings. No matter how I feel, I'm totally healed. No matter what they say, I'm okay. No matter what I see, I am at peace in the highest degree. I got this. And then I go into this whole little thing of, I attract with love. I remember with love. I am love. And no matter what you have to get done today, my main goal today is to have an enthusiastic, fan-fuckatastic, prosperous, productive day with minimal effort, just being me. Like, I have like an entire mantra that I go through if it get, depending on how bad it is, because there's levels to the doubt. Please know, like, it's not like, oh, it's the exact same. No, it feels different every time it presents itself. So in that different feeling, I throw another coping mechanism after it. Sometimes I will literally just say, you know what? I'm just going to paint. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to get this brush. I'm going to get this paint color, and I'm just going to paint, and we're going to see what happens. Because for me, I've learned that having multiple coping mechanisms helps. And it, I also say sometimes I write down what it is that I'm doubting. I write everything down. I look at it, and then I realize I've dealt with something like this before. I have evidential information. I have the receipts in my mind. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to fear, because it's always worked out for me.
I use that past data myself. Now, I often look at everything I'm going through and I'm experiencing. I've experienced a variation of already. And that comes from the self-awareness there. So I could now, let's say I'm going to start YouTube and create content. I go anxious, who wants to listen to me? But I'm like, well, Jake, you've already created content on TikTok. You've created podcasts. You've done newsletters. And people showed up. And people consumed your content all the same. And you felt self-doubt every time you did the same, create content on those platforms as well. What's different about this? What's different, you know? And for before that, me speaking in front of people. Jake, you've spoken in front of groups of people before through your work. It's the same thing, a little bit of a different situation, still the same self-doubt. You've overcome this before. You will be okay, just like last time. And the more you challenge yourself to accept that, and you can look back and look at your own information pool and your data sets, like you said there, it gets easier to present and front to those challenges of self-doubt going forward, so that, yeah, the self-doubt will always be there. That's just a part of nature, human life. We're always going to have that opportunity to have self-doubt come through, whether it's a different set of circumstances that trigger that self-doubt, but it's always going to present itself. It's just how you realize that you do have the skill set for it and how you can recognize when it's happening and pull yourself back to where you want to be. So I think I'm taking a bit of ownership of that. You've been through it before. So important as a creator when putting out content, because if you can't manage the self-doubt, you'll eventually just stop creating content. And if that's the thing that you love, if that's the thing you truly love, why would you let a little bit of self-doubt stop you from doing the thing that you love?
Absolutely. And I'll say I've run into creators that have given up on their entire pages. And they can't get it together. And I talked to them and they let me know what was going on. And I'm like, you realize every time that you showed up, I actually was super happy to see your content. I don't think you even realize that, because sometimes I'm so busy scrolling that I didn't put a comment saying, "You go, girl. I love seeing this. Keep it up." You don't see that or hear that all the time. And I just want you to know that you're doing more than enough. And I'm so happy to even say this. That particular person is starting to create content again, and she's planning it out. And I'm super excited to see your stuff, because it really does motivate me to continue creating content.
I've stopped and started content creation, let's say on my TikTok, where I talk a lot about personal growth and stuff. And over time, that what I've wanted to put out has changed as I've gotten more deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. I'm like, you know, I don't want to put this content out, but I'm like, what do I want to put out? And then I get stuck in this bit of a rabbit hole. But then I eventually come back. I'm like, no, I can talk about this stuff. And I put out a couple videos here and there and post about something. And then someone will go, "I haven't seen you in ages. It's so good to see you putting out videos again." And it's like, well, why haven't you been saying this all along? But just because someone doesn't leave a comment doesn't mean they're not watching. Someone just leaving a like, that simple little piece of engagement, that means they've consumed your video and enjoyed your piece of content. If you're getting more and more views in your content, even though your engagement statistics are low, let's say you got 10,000 views, but you only got 100 likes and maybe 3 comments. Yeah, look, that's not, the metrics aren't amazing. Hey, you got 10,000 views. Why did you get 10,000 views? But because people were interested in what you had to say and resonate with your content. And because that happened, more and more people were pushed to see that piece of content. So even if you're getting metrics that aren't pleasing to you and your views are still going up, that means you're still creating, people are engaging with your content, people are liking your content. It's just how you look at it. So you could look at it in two ways and go, "I got 10,000 views, but only one person commented. This sucks." Or you can say, "I got 10,000 views. 10,000 people viewed my content and liked what I had to say. That's awesome." It's about managing your perception of the metrics and how people have consumed your content.
Oh yeah, and I'll also say this, is that for every one negative comment, you have to counteract that with 3 positive things. And I know that sucks, but that's the ratio, and it just is what it is. So figure out what your positive things are and consume that. You gotta laugh it out, walk away from it. Don't delete the entire video. The worst thing that you can do is private it. But please, for the sake of your account, do not delete it. Just put it as only me if you're really having that big of a time. Just don't delete it. Because when your mental health is backing up, you'll probably say, no, everyone gets to see it again, and it's not gone. All you have to do is change the privacy setting to say, hey, everyone can see it.
And on that negative comment stuff, I've had so many of them. The most prominent ones were people coming at my hairline and stuff like that. And oh, it was so funny. The other day, and I know YouTube comments are savage. I just say that, like, and you probably haven't heard it. Compared to any other platform, YouTube comments, unrelenting, pure savagery. I've never had a positive comment on a YouTube video ever in the shorts feed. Ridiculous. Go on a TikTok, you know, people have fun at you, banter with you, but you get a really strong, engaged community there. But every so often, someone will go, you're a bit special, or blah, 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 blah. And someone said this to me the other day. My first reaction was, great. That's great. A negative comment. But then I was like, you know what? I can just agree with them, laugh, and move on. I did that. And I've forgotten about that comment until now. And that was a week ago that I posted that video. So reality was only like 10 minutes I really cared about it. I just accepted it and move on, because you're going to get that kind of confronting negativity. And it's never a reflection of us. Never a reflection of us. Sure, we can say whatever we want. That's the power of having one of these devices in our hands. And we might say some polarizing things that not everybody agrees with, but you've got your own opinion and you're entitled to share your own opinion and have a voice. So say what you want within reason that doesn't cause harm to someone else. And no problem. If someone comes at you then and still leaves a negative comment, well, that's just them. That's a reflection of something that's going on their day, and you can't change that. That's been done. Just got to accept that these are just really comments that aren't going to mean anything to you in a week if you don't put too much thought into it. Just move on with your life.
Oh yeah. And I can say this, is that I made a video actually about this, and I was like, my 3 favorite buttons as a content creator is block, report, and delete. And I say this like jokingly, but at the exact same, I'm very serious about it. So I've had a situation where someone wanted to go. I made a post here. I made a post because recently I found out that my position at the company I'm at is dissolving. And it was my first day coming back, and I was doing fine. The video was going okay. And then the tears, and they just started dropping. And I was like, I'm not re-recording this. This is what it is. And at the end, I was like, I'm really hurting right now. I post this on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. TikTok, they showed me all the love saying, hey, it's their loss. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sending love and light. And I'm like, thank you so much. YouTube, they came for the jugular. I did not anticipate it. You need to humble yourself and get married and stop putting so much faith, and this is about to get derogatory, in a white savior. And I was like, whoa, where did this come
Out of
from?
pocket.
And I was like, pause. I am humble. That's why I can make a video transparent and have my emotions show. Dude, I am married, been married for 5 years, so I'm very confused and I don't put all my faith in my job. So where are we at? But please know, I did write a dissertation reply back. And then I was like, you know what? Because I don't want people to come and fight this person, because this person apparently wants to like fight, I'm gonna delete the comment so my community doesn't have to come and accidentally might get hurt because they're already out for blood. So like that's what I mean by block, report, delete. Sometimes you can reply back and then you need to delete the comment altogether because it's not safe for your entire community. But there are some of them that I'll let them be. Like one of them's like, show more cleavage, and I'm like, I think I might be wearing turtlenecks moving forward. I think that's what I'm going to do. And I do the laughing emoji because some people are just
Yeah,
wild.
that's what I've had with YouTube, and it's the most off-putting thing as a creator, someone who anyone who wants to create content and put something out online, whatever your goals are, whatever your reasons, your why, whatever the why ever, however you want to do, whatever you want to do with it, that's the scariest thing for me, and that's the most challenging thing I've always had to deal with, and that's not just because of content, because I've just been a bit of a self-conscious person ever since I was younger. I could just tell you I've always been very scared of how people perceived me, and my self-esteem was, I was always felt vulnerable. I've always been quick to cry in situations. I just couldn't regulate my emotions. Even though I'm really good at it these days, I just can't bear the fact that if I post a video and I get three or four hate comments and nothing positive, I'm like, this, what, why do I want to do this? And it's just that's the toughest thing for me as a content creator, is putting out content that I think is great and that I love, and then just getting nonstop hate from random strangers, and then having to go through this cycle of, Jake, it's actually not a reflection of you, like everything that we said before, it's them. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. And then you're like, do I delete the comments? Do I admit defeat? No, do I just accept them and move on? It's a battle, that negativity in the content creation space for absolutely no reason. And all I can think of it is someone who is just not happy in their own position and thinks it's funny just to shit on people online. Excuse my French, but you know, it's there's that's the one aspect of social media that we're just gonna have to part live with. We can't go away from that. You know, they social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they do have good review functions, but people are smart and they're getting smarter and ways to avoid the detection and with what they say. And you know, so we just gotta have to accept that these comments are gonna come. And you can't avoid that. And you're just gonna have to take it in your stride, take it on the chin, and move on, because it's not gonna realistically matter to you if you don't give it the time and energy. It will pass really quickly.
Absolutely. And I'll also say this is you touched on something that I don't think you realize you touched on. Us as humans, we want to belong. And in a society that taught that shame was the game that we have to play, it makes sense why we are always overthinking and questioning ourselves because shame is deep in the core of all around the world. So, and mind you, I just want to remind you guys that you do belong to a higher purpose. You do belong to content creators, and we are not here shitting on you. We love you, and we want to see you can show up authentically as yourself. So remember, there's one of them, and there's more of us creating content. So please don't forget your other besties because we exist, and you can always reach out to us because we would love to support you in that journey saying, no, you got this. We get that they're saying what they're saying, But remember, that is them, not you. And if you play into it, that's exactly what they want, because everyone wants to feel seen. They want to feel heard. They want to feel value. Okay. So if we can remember these three things, it makes it just a little bit easier when we're dealing with the not so fun parts of social media.
But I just want to say, on behalf of me and the rest of the content creators that are listening to this podcast, thank you for your honesty and transparency and just being raw and vulnerable and sharing the things that you've been through as a content creator, as a person, and what you've experienced and how that's helped shape your perspective and now how you're guiding others and putting content out in that space. You know, just being the best friend for someone on the other side of the screen and just taking ownership of everything that you're going through. And it's just been a really fun, open, honest conversation. And I appreciate it. I really do appreciate you being able to just share whatever you felt like sharing and being really comfortable with it. So thank you so much for, you know, giving us your story. Yeah, Sharente, thank you so much. And creators, we want to let you know that we appreciate you and that you can reach out to us anytime if you're going through something with your mental health, your self-doubt, your imposter syndrome, and you're afraid to put your face out there. Our DMs are always open. You can connect with me on Creatorland. Yeah, Sharente has given you your social media. Wherever you want to connect with us to ask a question or just to have a bit of a conversation so you don't feel alone, we are here and we are always ready. So thank you so much for listening to this whole podcast episode. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to The Creator Landscape, the podcast by Creatorland. Don't forget to join Creatorland today and connect with like-minded professionals and creators in the creator economy.